The majority of adults in the United States have anywhere between 2 and 5 close friends, about 62%. But 1 in 5 regularly or often feels lonely. 20% of people feel lonely. Those who report the highest levels of loneliness are single, male, young, and likely earning a lower income. And I find that ironic because when you think of that wealthy miser, that person who's spent a lifetime building this business and never spent any time for friends, you would think those people would feel the loneliness. Now, I'm not saying that Bill Gates, that Bezos, these people have these massive circles of friendship. What I'm saying is they're probably less likely to feel lonely. And I'm not saying that it's the money. It's when we get to the end of this conversation and we talk about some of the perspective shifts that we need to have and how you've been raised to believe in things that probably aren't exactly the way they once were or ever were, you'll understand why you'll find that the 20% who really feel lonely, those aren't generally your highest earners. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Higher Standard Podcast, where we give you ultra premium, unfiltered truth when it comes to building your wealth and curating the lifestyle of your dreams. No games, no drama, and no shenanigans. I am your host, Chris Nahibi, and I'm here to help you distill the immense amount of information and disinformation out there on the interwebs and give you the opportunity to choose a higher standard for yourself. There are no gurus here, and no one gives a damn about how wealthy you look. I'm an attorney and a banker, amongst other things. Does that mean you should listen to me? Hell no. This is just full disclosure that while we talk about money, wealth, law, investing, and a lot of related topics, you should always speak to your own advisors for an opinion tailored to your unique investment perspective. I am obligated to tell you that nothing contained in this show is in fact legal or investment advice and is being provided solely for entertainment purposes. So sit back, relax your mind, and get ready for a different kind of podcast where we elevate your baseline in crispy, high-resolution audio. This isn't a different standard. It's the higher standard. This is going to be one of those episodes where I talk about something that I wish I knew earlier. It could have saved me a lot of focus and attention that was pulled in different directions. And frankly, I think I would have been more successful as an entrepreneur and as a business person if I would have accepted some of these challenges, you know, that society puts in front of us as it relates to friendships, relationships, a lot earlier. And I'll unpack all of that. But before I do, the question probably is, you know, hey, Chris, why are we talking about friendships on a podcast that deals with gurus online and social media and business and finance and real estate? Well, I've always said that relationships are the truest form of currency. And I really mean it whenever I say that. I think who you know matters. That old adage of, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It has some strong, you know, strong roots in reality and in the business world. Relationships are indeed the truest form of currency, and who you know can help you in ways that your education just cannot. So those colleagues that you can call upon for favors, for things that you need, those people that are in your circle, they matter. But from a business perspective, we have this tendency to think differently about the people that we connect with than we do in real life, in our friendships. And we look at them differently. And it's kind of funny that we do. People bastardize you for looking at your friendships as a business endeavor. And we often know those cliche salespeople who treat everybody the same. They come off kind of grimy. You're like, that person's a salesperson. But say what you will, that mentality as it relates to friendships and people is usually what propels those people with that sales skills, that nexus in relationships to the next level. Because they get things fundamentally on a level that we, as people who don't have that mentality, don't understand. So rather than me just throw out there my opinion on this topic, I think it's important that we look at some statistics. And I'm going to get into a study that I found from October 23rd, 2018, titled U.S. Adults Have Few Friends and They're Mostly Alike. And then I'm going to break it down and explain why this really matters in the business world and how it really stopped me from becoming successful. So whether or not you think you're struggling with friendship, or whether or not you're in your 20s or you're in your 40s, or you could be in your teens for all that matters, It all is applicable. And understanding this perspective and not feeling bad about the things that you want are key to letting yourself grow. And sometimes growing means growing beyond people. So I'm going to start with this. The majority of adults in the United States have anywhere between 2 and 5 close friends, about 62%. But 1 in 5 regularly or often feels lonely. 20% of people feel lonely. Those who report the highest levels of loneliness are single, male, young, and likely earning a lower income. And I find that ironic because when you think of that wealthy miser, that person who's spent a lifetime building this business and never spent any time for friends, you would think those people would feel the loneliness. Now, I'm not saying that Bill Gates, that Bezos, these people have these massive circles of friendship. What I'm saying is they're probably less likely to feel lonely. And I'm not saying that it's the money. It's when we get to the end of this conversation and we talk about some of the perspective shifts that we need to have and how you've been raised to believe in things that probably aren't exactly the way they once were or ever were, you'll understand why you'll find that the 20% who really feel lonely, those aren't generally your highest earners. So those who aren't working or those who are part of the growing population or proportion of Americans who work remotely or for themselves are likely making fewer friends because of the plurality of adults. 42% meet their friends on the job, right? So if 42% of people make their friends on the job and you're not going to work anymore, now think about that in the context of post-pandemic. 42% of people who would otherwise, you know, be met on the job and be your friend, almost half, you're not going to meet anymore. So if you're starting your new career, you're getting involved in a new work environment, you have a 50% less likelihood of meeting new people just out the gate. And I like working remote. I like being at home too. I get it. It's comfortable getting in your clothes and doing your thing, but I've often advocated for being in the office 2 to 3 days a week. And I've said there's some value it's an intangible value in actually physically connecting with people. And I truly believe if you want to get promoted in the work environment, you need to be there. And this is why you feel closer to people you see physically. And I'm not talking about Zoom. I'm talking about people you physically work with. You see in the office, you pass in the hallway. You might not like them. Seeing them gives you a nexus to them, which is different. It's just different. Moving on, outside of their place of employment, American adults meet their closest friends through other friends, 35%, and in their neighborhood, 29%. So when you break all that down, you can see the overwhelming majority of people typically met at work or through other friends, 35%, and through the neighborhood, the 29%. But when you think about those in the context of the pandemic, what just happened, people working from home, 42% gone, okay? Through other friends, we stopped hanging out socially because we're so worried about everybody having vaccinations and, you know, getting COVID. And, you know, I'm not saying those worries aren't valid. I'm just saying we were worried, so we stopped doing it. 35%. And in their neighborhoods, if you happen to be outside talking to somebody, seeing somebody, another 29%, I mean, that has to be cut in half, if not less, because you didn't want to talk to anybody for the longest period of time. There wasn't anybody outside. So we have generations of kids that are growing up that otherwise would be in school, you know, or people that just got out of school themselves that are otherwise in the work environment that are now at home. These numbers, I can tell you, don't account for how people are feeling post-pandemic. And in a world where society teaches you that we should all have friends, friendship is so vital. You know, it's about the quality of your life, you know, and the quality of your life is bolstered by having a great group of friends. And you see television shows about friends, titled Friends. You see people that are around you that have friends from high school or college and they're super close to them. I can tell you right now, I don't have any of that. I really don't. And I used to feel really, really, really bad about it. I used to feel like, you know what, I'm a bad person. And I have challenges, even with my family on some level. I have challenges. I'm not like them. I don't relate to them. And it's difficult for me. And I came to a moment where I had this realization that the way I thought about friendships was the way society at large wanted to think about friendships. But I don't want to be like society at large. From a financial perspective, from a career accomplishment perspective, from the things I expect from myself, I am by far and away my own harshest critic. People think that I'm harsh on everybody else. People think that I'm critical of everybody else. Let me tell you right now, the person who gets the most scrutiny from me is me. So I don't feel bad when people get their feelings hurt when I'm being harsh. I don't feel bad when friends think that I need to be at events that I just don't want to make time for because my priority is business and my priority is a family, my personal family, my wife, my son. And there isn't enough time in the day. And if you run several businesses, If you're doing more than one thing, if you have a normal day job and a side hustle, and you happen to have a family and children, good luck finding time for anything else. And if you're passionate about it, what I preach people to do, you're not going to want to do anything else. So you shouldn't feel bad. You should relieve yourself of that guilt. But let's continue on. The interactions Americans have with their neighbors, those who live within easy walking distance, which happen either weekly, 39%, or daily, 28%, are usually friendly, but consist mostly of brief greetings with very little interaction otherwise, about 37%. One in four, 25%, has managed to become friends with one or two of their neighbors. Overall, celebrations are what bring people together most in American neighbors. One quarter says they eat dinner together, 24%, celebrate birthdays or holidays together, 23%, and gather for neighborhood events, 22%. And I can tell you right now, during the pandemic, all of that was not happening. But even more so in today's society, we talk so much about social media and the influence of gurus and people online, you know, changing the way we think and look at things and trying to represent themselves as things they're not. Well, that's had impacts on how we interact socially. A lot of the people that connect with you, they look at your social media feed. They look at your stories. They feel like they know what's going on in your life because they see it. But they don't know what's really going on in your life because they're not really talking to you about it. And just because they give you a little emoji 100 or a thumbs up or a little face with the eyes for hearts, that doesn't mean they actually give a shit about what's going on with you. That doesn't mean they're actually connecting with you. And you'll find the more successful you get, some of those people are just letting you know they see you because they want what you have, or they want a part of what you have, or they want what they perceive you to have. Envy and greed are a really weird thing. We bastardize the concept of greed being good, just like the original, you know, Wall Street movie, right? Greed is good. And everybody was, oh my God, that's so offensive. Greed is not good. Greed is good, but it has to be harnessed for a driver, a motivator. If you want to be wealthy, there is nothing wrong with that. And if your friends bastardize you or make you feel like an outcast or ostracize you because of that, your friends and you don't have the same beliefs. You don't have the same desires. And I would ask you, are those people really truly still your friends? Because if I were to say, hey, man, I really want to learn how to play the guitar. And if the guitar playing had the same stigma, and my friends were like, oh, my God, you want to play the guitar? Why? You're in your 40s. Why would you want to do that now? That's crazy. You would say, God damn, man, I'm just playing the guitar. Like, why is that such a problem for you? But if you say you want to get wealthy, if you say you want to start a side hustle, and you tell people what you want to do, you'll have some friends that'll support you right up until the point where that actually becomes successful. And then all of a sudden they stop talking to you. A great indicator, I think, is funny to me, is I'll see people that I know are friends post stuff on social media. Instagram, I love using as a reference because it's such a weird thing. How many of your friends and family like and comment on your photos frequently? How many of them like and comment on your stuff every time you post? I'd be surprised if you can name more than a handful of people that actually do that. Why? It's such a trivial thing. You can do it so easy. Oh, I wasn't logged onto the app. Dude, I saw you logged onto the app. I've seen you post stuff. I've seen you look at people's comments. I've seen you look at my story feed, but you can't like something. You know, it's baffling to me the weird, you know, restraint we place on ourselves because we don't want to like something and we do like something. We do it in a digital world and that stuff, whether we like it or not, that is a factor in friendship these days. People visibly supporting other people has a connotation to it. And you should probably do a self-assessment. I know a lot of young people. I've got a, you know, little brother and sister who are in their 20s, mid-20s, and they're still in that phase where they have their party friends. We all remember what that was like. I had it. We all did it. It's kind of, you know, reality. But I look back on all those friends of mine, and none of them are in a situation that's similar to mine. Some of them don't have kids. Some of them do. Some of them work clearly a job they hate. Some of them don't. Some of them, you know, work jobs they love, but they don't get paid well. Some of them aren't successful. And almost all of them aren't pushing to become the better version of themselves. They're not as harsh on themselves as I am. So, Chris, what are you getting at? I have long believed that, statistically speaking, we do, in fact, lose 50% of our friends every 7 years. And traditionally, you stop making as many friends as you get older and older because you have less things, you know, less free time and more things that you're focusing on. So what happens? You meet and interact with less people and you start to lose 50% of those friends every 7 years. And if you only had a group of 10, you can see how every 7 years, you know, 14 years from now, that could be down to less than five. Well, throw in the pandemic and you're not making friends at an accelerating rate. You're not spending a whole lot of time with them. There's a lot of people feeling lonely out there. There's a lot of people feeling bad out there. And I scratch my head and say, why? Why do you feel lonely? Why do wealthy people not tend to feel as lonely according to the study? Well, the answer is wealthy people have figured out the lesson that I never learned, that there's nothing wrong with greed. There's nothing wrong with prioritizing your financial success, whether that's for your family or for your ego or whatever it's for. If that's what you want and you really want it so bad and you're really passionate about it, go after it. Your friends should want that for you. Just because you don't talk to them every day, just because you don't see them every day, that doesn't mean that you're not friends anymore. As a matter of fact, some of my closest friends to this date, I rarely see and talk to, but I know if I needed something, I could pick the phone up and say, hey man, I need this. And they can do the same for me. I might not see you every day. I might not talk to you every single day, but when you reach out or you call, I'm gonna answer that phone and I'm gonna get back to you. And that's okay. I don't have to be there. And if you expect me to be there at all these critical moments in time, I don't know that I could do that. Kobe Bryant, before he passed away, I was not a fan. I'll be honest. I never got over some of the behavior that I saw from him from an ego perspective. And you know, I may have had the guy wrong. Shortly before he passed away, there was a post-retirement article in GQ magazine where they did a Q&A with him. And I found it recently, reread it again just because it resonated with me. In this article, Kobe Bryant said that he was aware of how he came off to people. And I thought, damn, here's a guy who I thought was arrogant as shit. And I've known lots of athletes. I got lots of athletes that are clients. I have lots of athletes that are friends, you know, professionals that have been catered to their entire life. And I understand that their life is a different perspective. And Kobe Bryant was certainly amongst some of those very young people to adopt that this lifestyle because he was afforded it well into his teens that we knew he was going to be one of the great. And here he was in this post-retirement article saying he knew he wasn't the best friend for his teammates. He knew he wasn't the best teammate. He said he knew he wasn't the best friend people in his personal life. He said that he knew he wasn't the best father or the best husband. And I thought, wow, okay, well, wait a minute. Let me read on. So I did. And as I read that, I realized that Kobe Bryant had reconciled that if he wanted to be the best, if he wanted to truly be exceptional at something, in his case, playing basketball, he realized that other things were going to have to take a back seat. There were going to have to be sacrifices made. And he didn't have a fucking problem with that. And that makes him a villain in society's eyes. And I was wrong for seeing him that way. Frankly, I can appreciate you could say, hey, if you don't have time to get married, don't get married. But we're humans. We all do these things. As a matter of fact, I respect a man more who knew his limitations and knew what he was sacrificing in order to be truly great at something. And I think that's why before he passed away, he spent so much time really trying to be a good father and a good husband to the extent that, you know, we could see as outsiders. You know, I'll say that we look at people who really strive for excellence and we expect them to be like the people around us who don't. Because the majority of society is not striving for excellence. They're trying to do the best they can of what they have. But there are sacrifices they make. And usually that sacrifice is pushing harder for more money, more success, more opportunity. And using myself as an example, because I don't want to make anybody feel bad, I don't have to come home from my day job where I make well into the seven figures. I don't have to come home and do that and continue to work. But I do because my personal brand and what I'm trying to accomplish here means something to me. It's not a money-making endeavor. It's a passionate endeavor. And in order for me to sit here on this microphone and talk to you today, I'm sacrificing time with my family. But that is a sacrifice we make. And I truly believe passionately that this hopefully will help some people, someone, somewhere. So I make those sacrifices. And this is 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there, an hour here, an hour there that can be spent with my family. And I'm not saying I'm a professional athlete. I'm not saying I'm ever going to be, you know, uber wealthy like the Kobe Bryants of the world. But what I am saying is that I truly have always believed that wealth is not a destination. You don't just get there and say, I'm wealthy, I'm rich. It's a journey. And if nothing else, the journey of life is to continue to try to improve yourself to the extent that you can. We get complacent as a species. We're taught to be complacent. We were brought up in a classroom where your job was to excel amongst the class, but only do what the class does. except the majority of people from your school, from your high school, from your college, wherever you may have gone, or even just people that you knew growing up, the overwhelming majority of them, no matter where you are in this world, not just this country, this world, will fall in line with mediocrity. And that is not disrespectful. They might have great lives. That might be wonderful for them. But there will be a handful, a short few, who will really, really excel and propel themselves into things that make them great. And you know what? I feel bad for the celebrities who get great at something and then stop. I see someone like Rihanna becoming a billionaire. And I don't know Rihanna, but I think to myself, she is now taking it up a notch. And there's lots of people who can criticize and say, well, because she was a musician, she got this opportunity. Who cares? She continued to follow that journey wherever it took her and continue to try to self-improve. That's why I think so many people that we consider to be successful tend to work out, have regimens of health and diet, and they tend to be kind of quirky. They're introspective. They're competing with them. And as a result, they get less lonely. They don't feel the need for companionship as much as they feel the need to fulfill the sacrificed obligations that they can, right? So if I'm sacrificing my time in the office, it's going to be with my family. If I'm sacrificing my time with my family and my time in the office and I've got little time left, it's going to be working on my health and my passions and my endeavors. And whatever time's left, if I can fit someone in or something in, so be it. But just like Kobe Bryant before he passed away, I recognize that I cannot be an outstanding friend. And I'm unapologetic about that. I cannot be the world's greatest brother. I can't, because I'm working on something here. I'm trying to do something. And no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you should never feel bad about that. I'm not telling you to be a bad person. I'm just saying prioritizing your life, your health, your mental well-being, and your passions is not a wrong thing. And you wanting to become wealthy is not a bad thing. Society teaches us these things are. You can't even talk about it in a public setting. And that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So you need to take that with a grain of salt, and you need to think to yourself, if you have to be quiet about who you are and what you want to do when you grow up, or what you want to do when you go home, then you really should question whether these people are your friends. Because those commonalities that make people friends, they're fluid with time. They change. And just because you don't see somebody as much as you used to doesn't make you a bad friend. It just means you've gone your separate ways. As a matter of fact, a break in any kind of relationship is sometimes healthy. So that's the lesson. That's the story. I look around me today and I know that I've got few friends. The few friends I have are better quality, obviously less quantity. But the people that I am friends with, I see less often than the friends I'd seen historically. Think about that. Higher quality friends, but I see them less often because they're out there just like me, trying to chase their passions. They have familial obligations. They got things to do. So we get it. It's an unspoken understanding. We know what the other's trying to do and we respect it. And if I would have known that when I was younger, maybe I would have respected Kobe Bryant when he was who he was in the NBA. And everybody's got good and bad traits. I'm not saying the things he didn't do are wrong. He definitely did some wrong things in his life. But what I'm saying is you got to surround yourself with people who are like you. And if you don't know people that are like you, that's okay too. Keep working. They'll come. That's all I got for this time. I know it's a bit off topic in some ways, but in many ways it's not. And the more time you have to think on it, I'm sure that'll help clear that perspective up. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you coming to the end. If you've gotten this far and you haven't, you know, changed the station or put me on 3x speed, I appreciate you. Follow my socials, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, all at Chris Nahibi, last name Nahibi. Until next time, take care. I'm out. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation on the Higher Standard Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform you were listening to this on. If you like this episode, please write a review and share it with us. You're getting the show up and running right now, so every message, every review, and every note counts. This show exists to showcase what's possible when leaders decide to uphold a higher standard for their businesses, their investments, their families, and most importantly, themselves. If you want to see more of my content, I post daily on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, so be sure to follow me on your favorite social media platform. And with that, it is a wrap. And as always, I look forward to hanging with you all on the next episode.